Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When T-Mobile says we've got you covered, we mean it. We've invested billions to light up our best network yet, covering 99% of people in America. And great coverage is just the beginning. Every year, families and small businesses can save up to $900 versus Verizon when they switch to T-Mobile. There's never been a better time to switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store and switch today.
Coverage is not available in some areas. Savings with four lines based on analysis of Verizon and T-Mobile National postpaid smartphone bills, rate plan features, taxes and fees, and savings may vary. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Kick off NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Join today. Get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed. All you got to do is place your first $5 bet. Sign up with promo code 2400 to get in on the action, and then you can turn game day into payday all season long. And the best part, take that $150 in free bets. There's big games every weekend, ones you'll have big opinions on, and you can get on your way. Play your way. Bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You name it, FanDuel's got more markets than anybody. You can even combine your bets for a chance of a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code 2400. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and up in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Presented by T-Mobile. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In this town, there is no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Leiter.
Oh, boy. The Browns get a win in week number one of the season. It's been since 2004. You don't need to be in England to talk about the House of York. Cleveland is now Cade's country. Hi, everybody, and welcome to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. I saw Daryl Ryder gave me a chuckle there, so I had to hang tight for a second. Welcome to the podcast. We'd love having you on board with It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. This is our first post-game podcast, and Daryl, we are talking about a win.
And the Carolina Panther logo at midfield is now officially Yorktown.
Well played. Well played. How many of these York references will we have over the next 2-3 weeks?
I don't know. I just hope we don't blow through them here early in the season, but I have a feeling we're going to. Look, I mean, it's great that the Browns won because, thank God, they almost blew it. They were up 20-7, and then they fell behind 24-23 with a 113 on the clock. Look, I mean, Jacoby Brissett wasn't great. Thank God they drafted Cade York. This is why they drafted him. He scored the final 13 points of the afternoon for the Cleveland Browns, and it was just enough to beat the Carolina Panthers. And that 58-yard field goal, my God, Andy, that thing was good from 65. I mean, it was it even close?
It's why they drafted him. We also want to remind you, and we want to thank everybody that's listening to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, to remind you that we are brought locally by Smiley One Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Bryant and Smiley One, the right choice for your comfort. And I got to tell you, I was not comfortable at all, much like the folks that were in Charlotte today, where the humidity was like 90%. Everybody was sweating, and I kind of wonder if that's why the Browns' running game got a little bit different towards the end of the contest. But that's not the point. The point is that the Browns won today. It wasn't pretty, but Daryl, I really feel like this is going to be the blueprint for the next 10 games until Deshaun Watson gets here.
Yeah, it was something that I had mentioned in my top takeaways article on the website. Like, this is it. This is how the Browns are going to have to win. Jacoby Brissett, quite frankly, was not very good today. In fact, he was downright awful. But he did just enough. He did what they expect him to do, and that is not make any mistakes that cost him football games. Like, that is or was the benefit of having Jacoby Brissett on the field. He didn't fumble. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't make any critical mistakes. But he missed a lot of easy throws, a lot of wide open throws. I mean, look, they should have ran Carolina out of that stadium, quite frankly. They really should have. I mean, they were taking them to the woodshed, especially in the first quarter and in the first half. And the fact that they were only up at halftime by such a, in my estimation, just based on how that first half went, by such a slim margin at 17-7, you know, they allowed Carolina to hang around because of Jacoby Brissett's inability to effectively throw the football. Donovan Peoples-Jones, my God, I think they found a second receiver on this team. He had six catches today, all of them heavily contested. I mean, he had a defender on him like a tablecloth on a table. Every single one of those catches, he was outstanding. But yeah, this is going to be the formula. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and hope that Jacoby Brissett doesn't do anything stupid that costs him games. And Jacoby Brissett's reputation is he doesn't do anything stupid on the field to cost you games. And we saw that today. He didn't physically play great, but he played a smart football game, and he was nails on that final drive to get them to the 40-yard line so York could get on the field and kick that field goal.
All right, so, Daryl, let's look at that blueprint a little bit more, because I don't think there are very many teams around the NFL that have this ratio of 39 rushes to, 18 passes. And, again, you're right. Brissett is, I think, what Kevin Stefanski ordered. It would have been nice if they could have done a little bit more late and put the thing away, but I just don't see any game being put away. But early on in the game, Daryl, I kept saying to myself, run, 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 even more than what we just saw with the ratio that I was talking about. I mean, they only had 17 passing plays today.
Well, it
or 18.
No, it was actually 34. They had 34 attempts today.
I'm sorry, 18 receiving. They had 18 catches. 18 right. Catches. I'm sorry. Yeah, I said that wrong. Sorry.
Right. So it was 35 designed runs, 22 to Nick Chubb, 11 to Kareem Hunt, two of them to Anthony Schwartz, which, by the way, that's the only way Anthony Schwartz should ever touch a football, okay, is on end-arounds. But so you had 35 designed, and then you had 34 pass plays. So actually, that's basically a 50-50 ratio. And I'll be honest with you, Andy, don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I just need the quarterback to have better production than completing 18 passes for a 147. That's what it comes down to. When you get Amari Cooper wide open multiple times, A, you have to see that he's open and get him the football, or B, you need to make a good throw so that he can run under the thing and walk into the end zone. And Brissett did not do that. But all's well that ends well. But this is what these games, I think, are going to look like here over the next 2.5 to 3 months.
You know, it's funny you talk about Anthony Schwartz. He did come up with a big catch late in the game, which was like, all right, so maybe it's a reminder that the preseason doesn't mean anything. And then Kevin Stefanski, after the game, said this is why he's still here. But I agree with you, Daryl. When they used him on the end around, I'm like, all right, they're getting him some confidence to do the things that he needs to do.
Yeah, got 10, average 10 yards per carry on those end rounds, got 20 yards. But you're, you know, I will give him credit, came up with that big 19 yard reception to move the sticks. But I'm not going to lie, when I saw the ball get thrown to him, I wanted to hide under my desk for a second until I realized that he went down and he made the catch. He's such a nice kid, too. I feel bad, you know, for picking on him a little bit. But it's pro sports, it's a results oriented business, and there are questions about whether or not he can produce at the level. But three positive plays out of him today. Donovan Peoples-Jones, again, as I mentioned earlier, was outstanding. Amari Cooper, only three catches for 17 yards, but there were missed opportunities on Brissett's behalf to really get him some big explosive plays. And that's not on Amari Cooper. That's on Jacoby Brissett. Also want to send a special thank you out on behalf of the Cleveland Browns to Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers for only giving Christian McCaffrey 10 carries for 33 yards and a touchdown. Thank you very, very much. Cause that dude should have wrecked the Browns afternoon. I thought
it was coming in the second half. You could kind of smell it after he scored the touchdown. I'm like, we don't need to give this guy any mo. And I thought it was coming.
They put the game in Baker Mayfield's hands. Mayfield 16-27 overall for 235. That 75 yard touchdown that came off the blown coverage, was intercepted once. The pressure really kind of got to him, defensively. Had four fumbled exchanges, including before that go-ahead field goal with a 113 to go, where he just basically had to fall on the football and preserve possession. Five passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. He was sacked four times, two of those on back-to-back plays by Myles Garrett. So they dialed up the heat on him, and for 3.5 quarters, it was brilliantly effective. But, there were a couple of sparks in there, and it really looked like it was going to end badly for the Browns when he was able to lead them down the field for that go-ahead field goal.
All right, Darrell, let's talk about Cade York for a second, because he was in studio with Jeff and I this week. And it was – I'm looking at this kid going, he's only 21 years old, and he's got a lot of pressure on him. But, man, he was cool as ice when he kicked that 58-yard field goal today. And it was interesting to hear him say – last week when LSU lost to Florida State because their kicker missed the kick, who, by the way, was their fourth string kicker last year, and everyone was all over the kid. Cade not only stuck up for him, but shared the story that he was getting death threats from idiots that thought he was still the kicker at LSU. I mean, imagine how unnerving that was. Yeah, I'm looking at your face when you hear that. Cade told us that on the air, that people were on Twitter like giving him death threats over the fact that FSU lost the game, but they still thought he was the kicker there. And you know what was weird? I think I'd be a little rattled by that. And he was just like, they're just silly, it's stupid. And he just rolled off. And the kid is ice. He's absolute ice.
Ready to fit him for his gold jacket, baby.
Statue yet? Is he ready for a statue?
No. No, not yet. But
that's after the gold jacket?
After the gold jacket. You got to get a gold jacket to get the statue. Aren't those the rules? I think they're the rules. I think so.
But Clay Matthews was able to make it into the Ring of Honor without being in the Hall of Fame. So we'll see what happens.
Are they going to put York 58 in the Ring of Honor now, since they have finally killed the curse in week one? And they are 1-0 for the first time since 2004. As I wrote, pigs are not flying. Cats and dogs may be living together. Choirs of angels somewhere are singing. The Browns are 1-0. By some act of God off the foot of Cade York, the Browns are 1-0.
Has anybody talked to Phil Dawson yet? Has anyone done the interview with Phil Dawson yet to find out what this means to him? Yeah. All right, Darrell, let's take a quick timeout. If you like what you're listening to, subscribe to the podcast. Knock yourself out. Give us some stars. If you don't like it, you can give us negative feedback. We don't really care, but we're just glad you're listening, and we're glad you're subscribing, and we're super happy that the Browns picked up their first win of the season, 26-24 over the Panthers. When we come back, we will hear from Baker Mayfield. What did he have to say after the game? You're listening to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, brought to you locally by Smiley One Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Bryant and Smiley One, the right choice for your comfort. The Browns, a 26-24 winner. Welcome to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland post-game report. And we'll be doing this every time the Browns play. So whether they play on a Sunday or Thursday or get a game flex late in the season, we'll be with you after the game. Darryl, a lot of stuff going on in the locker room. There was a lot of talk, and the whole story was about Baker Mayfield. I will tell you that I'm glad that we'll be able to turn the page on this after today because the Browns were able to get the win. But if Baker Mayfield would have had come back and had a game-winning drive, I do not want to go to work tomorrow. Not going to lie. But they won, so I do want to go in for a victory Monday. What did Baker have to say after the game?
Well, yeah, I mean, he almost had the game-winning drive. Unfortunately, the Browns had a minute 13. And look, it started really brutal for him. He threw for 7 yards in the first quarter. At halftime, he was at a buck one. He threw for, he was 6 of 8 for 134 and the 75-yard touchdown in the second half. But he did talk about the buildup. What everyone thought this game would be.
Everybody made this out to be the Super Bowl, but despite what everybody's going to make this, there's 16 more games. The Super Bowl is not till February, and this is the beginning of September. So, like I said, a lot of anticipation, but we're going to flush this. We're going to learn it, and we're going to be better from it.
He still has flush this in his repertoire. We heard flush this quite a bit in his post-game remarks this afternoon.
16 of 27, 235 yards, that one touchdown, one interception. You know, as much as you want to say Baker was horrible in the first half, he did lead his team back and give them the opportunity to try to win the game. So I do think even if you don't like Baker Mayfield, you do have to tip your cap to the fact that he was able to give his team the opportunity, a chance to win. And by the way, they'll be talking about the personal foul for a long time on that last drive for the Browns before the field goal, because let's face it, the Browns haven't caught a lot of breaks since 1999. That was a play was a break. That was a break.
That was a big, big break because, Jacoby was a victim of some friendly fire. I think that's fair to say. That was some very friendly fire. But Baker was also asked, though, if he watched Cade York kick the 58-yard field goal.
It's a long field goal. That kid's got a leg on him. I mean, that's a hell of a kick, to be honest with you. But like I said, shouldn't have come down to that. We should have started faster, had more points on the board, and take care of the ball, and not leave our defense in that situation. That's what I'm most disappointed about, because they fought. I mean, that's a great offensive rushing attack they had there today. I mean, being in it, seeing it from the other side, it's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Browns had 217 yards on the ground today, and then you end up with Nick Chubb with 141 and Kareem Hunt with 46. That ground attack was something special.
I have a question for you. Did he sound a little envious there?
Go ahead, tell me.
When he...
That we have a kicker?
No, well, besides that, but...
That's a great offensive rushing attack that they had there today. I mean, being in it... Seeing it from the other side, it's brutal.
I don't know. Sounded a little envious. He got up. Wonder if he has a little. Wonder if he misses Nicky Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Huh? I mean, he's got but they didn't use him today. Thank you, Matt Rhule. Thank you. Cards are in the mail. Thank you for not using your best player on offense and being a stupid coach. Thank you.
But, is that ripping Matt Rhule?
No, I don't think he's ripping Matt Rhule.
Okay.
I think that's envy. I think he misses Nicholas Jamal Chubb, which, by the way, Baker did say after the game, he did get his hug from Nick Chubb. And Myles Garrett also came up visited with him briefly. He was asked about getting to see some familiar faces.
It's always good to see familiar faces. Emotional. I wouldn't get too much into that. But just it was good to see some people. Obviously disappointing with the way things finished. Would love to have the bragging rights against those guys, but we didn't finish. Mostly because we didn't start fast.
It's a good point. Jacoby Brissett on the other side was very emotional in his press conference after the game. And you could see he was just choked up about the opportunity to even be playing and to have he's been listed as played in 60 NFL games, he's been on the roster for 60 NFL games, but the opportunity for him to go out there and start. He's, you know, he's had some opportunity, but not the chance to lead a team week one. And I mean, he knows he's a quarterback for at least 11 games this season. And, you know, I don't know if I was shocked, but I've always thought Jacoby's super cool. And to see him, you know, kind of break down on the podium a little bit about just the overwhelming feelings of being a quarterback in the NFL and appreciating the chance to be the starter of this team. You can see why the Browns trust him, and you can see why he cares so much about trying to get a victory.
Yeah. And again, as we've talked about, that what you saw against the Panthers is what you can expect from Jacoby Brissett for the next 10 games now. One game down, 10 to go. But that is what you can expect. He's not going to be great, but he's not going to do things and make mistakes that cost you. And that's what we saw in Carolina. And then they got the break with the roughing the passer penalty. They gave him an easy 15 yards, but he was able to maneuver them and get him to the 40-yard line. So Cade York could have got the other break that he caught was the intentional grounding flag that got picked up. Because I don't know if you're alive. I don't think you can fake it and then ground it. Like, I don't think you can fake the spike and spike it, which is what they said he did. And it looked like he did. That, by the way, the officiating, not great. When you don't know how to enforce penalties, that's not good. We saw that. But
it's week one for them too, though.
Yeah. But
you know what? Daryl, I normally would sit here and rip them, and if the Browns would have lost because of a bad call, I'd be crushing them. Daryl, how many times have we seen it go against the Browns since 1999? Man, it feels like every week. You know, I was like, on the roughing the passer call, I was sitting with Jamel White watching the game, and we were just like, oh, my God, that's a horrible call, and the Browns caught a huge break. But you know what? The Browns don't normally catch those breaks, so – good for them. We finally got one. Finally. It doesn't happen very often.
When I saw the flag, I thought it was going to be a holding penalty. And then I saw the replay and I was like, yeah, that still shouldn't be a flag.
Jamel started talking about, you know, having a teammate who took his helmet off at the end of the game and that cost him a win, right?
Do we have to go there?
Daryl, we haven't talked about the defense very much so far. They did end up with 4 sacks. They looked amazing to start the game, and it was like going down that first hill of the blue streak, I guess, at Cedar Point or Millennium or Magnum or whatever you want to call it, that it just seemed to get away from them, especially when Baker was able to pick up the big plays. And that touchdown to Robbie Anderson, it was like, what happened to that coverage?
Yeah, the overall, though, the defense played, I thought, very good. They really had the heat up on Baker all afternoon long. Five batted passes at the line of scrimmage. But they did look. I mean, they had a couple of miscommunications in the secondary, which, guess what, killed them last year on defense. Miscommunications in the secondary, right? And it's always, you got to love it. Like, every time there's a blown coverage in the secondary, it's supposed, I thought the safety was coming over to help out on it. It's never the cornerback's fault. It's always the safety's fault, right?
Right.
Every single time. It's like, I thought the safety was going to come over, right? When you're watching the game and the analysts are breaking it down. See, they released him and the safety's supposed to come over. And that's why you got everyone standing out there holding their hands up. Like, what the hell just happened? So I'm not going to sit here and like place the blame on anybody, because I have zero clue what the defensive responsibilities are on any given play. I have no idea. I'm not in Joe Wood's ear. He's not in my ear telling me what they're doing. So it's easy to say, hey, Grant Delpit blew this coverage, or so-and-so blew this coverage. Like, we have no idea who blew. All we know is somebody in the secondary screwed up. There were a couple of screw-ups in that game, and thankfully, when the dust settled, because one of the screw-ups actually set up Christian McCaffrey's touchdown run, okay? So those two screw-ups cost them 14 points. If you think in those terms, Andy, so which made this thing a hell of a lot closer than it needed to be or should have been. Just the same thing as I was saying earlier about Jacoby Brissett. Had he been better in the game, it would not have been a game at the end. Same thing goes with those two blown coverages. So it happens, but the bottom line is when they needed to hold, they did. Because after the horse collar penalty, that was a legit call. JJ3 had him inside the collar, the pads there. You can't pull a guy from behind like that. So that was a legit call, and that's what put him in field goal position ultimately. But the defense held. They held him to the field goal there, and there was just barely enough time on the clock for that Browns offense. All in all, though, I think the defense did a pretty good job. You allow
54 yards on the ground. Yeah. That's pretty impressive, especially when Christian McCaffrey's on the other side. And, you know, we spent 2 weeks listening to people say, well, you guys are worried about the wrong thing. Quit worrying about Baker. Start worrying about Christian McCaffrey. I know he got stepped on this week at practice, and they had to put that on the injury report. Right. But it did look like he was about to set fire in the second half, and they kind of went away from it.
Look, I mean, Carolina was 4-for-11 on third down. That's a little over 36%. I will take that for the rest of the season if that's what the Browns are able to do. If you can give me a 36% ratio on third down defensively, sign me up for that every single week. Total net yards, they didn't even get they barely got past 260. You mentioned the net yards rushing, just 54. Net yards passing, just barely over 200. We're not going to mention what the Browns' net yards passing were, because it was a lot worse than just barely over 200. It was 138.
All right, Whisperer. Let's do this. Let's take a quick timeout. I want to hear from Kevin Stefanski. I want to hear from Jacoby Brissett. As I said, he was a little bit emotional after the game. We'll hear what he had to say about the big kick at the end, and we're going to look ahead to the Jets game too. So that's all coming up straight ahead on It's Always Game Day in Cleveland.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's always game day in Cleveland. We continue on with the post-game show as we talk a little bit more, our post-game podcast, I should say. He's Darryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. If you like what you're listening to, subscribe to the podcast. We love having you on board. And if you ever want to get a hold of us, we're available on Instagram, and we are able to get a hold of, you can get a hold of us on Instagram or Facebook. Okay, so the Browns win 26-24, first time since 2004 they get a win in the first week of the season. How about the head coach after the game? Again, just one game. I expected that. But, you know, it's nice to start the season without worrying about being on the hot seat for at least 1 week, right?
Yeah, that is a nice change of pace. Although, had they lost that game.
it would have been, I am telling you, I would not have wanted to go to work tomorrow. I might have called in sick.
Yeah, it would have been ugly. Here's Kevin Stefanski after.
Offensively, fought like crazy. I know the stats maybe aren't pretty. I don't care. And then, you know, the kicking game, Cade came through, and we knew he was going to come through us at some point. Here it is in game one, and the kid just knocks it down the middle. So really proud of those guys again for fighting. You know, I did remind them in there, this counts as one. It's one game. We're 1-0, and we got the biggest game of our life next season, next week.
And then we had the biggest game of our life next season. I mean, next week. We're playing next week.
Yeah, let's stop. We're winning. We were undefeated this season. See you later. Goodbye. We're good.
For the first time ever in generations, the Cleveland Browns are undefeated in just to start a year. Here's some more Stefanski talking about basically just, you know, winning the way we all expect them to without Deshaun Watson, and that is UGLNY.
You're so focused on the task at hand and what we need to do. I mean, they get the big play. They're in field goal territory. Great job by our defense to hold them to three. Obviously, that was huge. And then it's, all right, we're coming back, and you're just in the moment just figuring out what you got to do to get a win. And any which way, you got to find a way to win.
And they did that. And again, I have a feeling we're going to be talking about this. If they do pick up victories, we're going to be talking about these games like this for the next 11 games. Like, I just feel
that's
like
the team slogan this year, we win ugly. Cleveland Browns football 2022.
There's already a t-shirt that's been printed. I'm sure there are 50,000 people that already have it. Win ugly. It's what they're going to be. And that's okay. I feel like they chipped away one game closer to Deshaun Watson being the starting quarterback. That's kind of how you have to look at it. But Jacoby Brissett was, as I said, was emotional after the game. It wasn't pretty, but he did what he had to do. And I do think that Kevin Stefanski appreciates the fact that he has a quarterback that he feels like he's on the same page with, or at least will execute what he wants out on the field.
Yeah, exactly. And Jacoby Brissett, in turn, is very thankful for Cade York.
Coming in, everybody obviously knew about Cade and seeing the kicks that he's made throughout his college career. I mean, we saw him in practice do it. You see the work that he puts in, the confidence he has, and it showed up today in the biggest moment.
And he is probably the happiest guy right now, because instead of us talking about how poorly Jacoby Brissett played for the duration of this podcast, right, and that being the reason why the Cleveland Browns were unable to win a game that, quite frankly, they should have won in a rout, we're sitting here talking about just an incredible gutsy kick by Cade York and how, I guess, like, it's, we're going to come to expect that, right, from him. And that, like, that's a good thing. There's no nerves sending him out there in that spot. But if you're Kevin Stefanski and you know all you need to do is get to your opponent's 35 or 40 yard line, and you got points in your back pocket, right? I think that opens things up for him. Now, what was curious early in the game is the first to drive, right? Did not kick the 53-yard field goal. He went for it, and that was right after Jacoby had missed that third down throw down the field to Amari Cooper. Cooper could have caught that thing and strutted in backwards into the end zone. And then he came back on fourth down, and he was wide of Donovan Peoples-Jones, who tried to make a toes in bounds, his entire body out of bounds catch, and wasn't able to do it. And so they turned it over on downs. But, you know, Stefanski showed us again, he's going to remain aggressive on fourth down, but to have a weapon, like, that's the biggest, for me, Andy, takeaway. Yes, we're all impressed with Cade York's leg. I'm as guilty as anybody of super hyping him up and blowing him up during training camp with some of the kicks that I saw. But that dude is now a weapon for the Cleveland Browns. They have a weapon,
and it feels good,
for a kicker. And how about on the kickoff, right? They get the penalty, and on the kickoff, they back him up, and dude still kicks it through the uprights after a penalty, having an even longer kick. So he is really, truly a unique weapon for the Cleveland Browns. That to me is, like, really super exciting, aside from the fact that he hit the 58-yard game winner.
So I thought it was interesting after the game, Stefanski said that in that first opportunity, what you were talking about, where they decided to go for it on fourth down, He said he didn't want to put Cade York in that position to have to hit a super long field goal because it would have been like 50 plus. And he said that he wanted to put the young guy out there in a position to try to get moving with a little bit of momentum, some shorter field goals, some extra points, so that he could kind of get the feel for what it was like in an NFL game. I'm sure the kid would have been like, Coach, I mean, look, I kicked at LSU. I know what I'm doing. I remember how cocky I was when I first got drafted. Okay, well, I know I've toned it down a little bit, but I can make that. I'm sure he would have loved the opportunity to go out there. And, Darryl, let's not kid ourselves. You had confidence in him. I had confidence in him, mainly because of what he was able to do in that last preseason game before the game, kicking a 70-yard field goal. And I know there's no pressure in that situation, but, that you know, like I said, he was in studio with this week. That kid is ice, and it's hard to believe he was in high school 4 years ago. Unbelievable.
Yeah. His first two kicks were PATs. Then he got a 26-yarder, which is shorter than a PAT these days, a 34-yarder and a 36-yarder, and then was sent out there to kick the game-winning 58-yarder. Probably, yeah. So to Stefanski's point, didn't want to put him in that spot, but, well, welcome to the National Football League, kid.
Well, you're going to have a fan club. They're going to be wearing York jerseys before the end of the week.
Darryl, Cleveland is about to become Yorktown. Hey, there we go. I got two Yorktown references in. There we are.
Well done. Well done. No battle when you live in York. Now, that's not good. That's a bad one. Okay, listen. Let's look ahead to next week because the Browns come home. They take on the Jets. The Jets did not look good today against the Ravens. 24-9, the final on that. Lamar Jackson, 213 yards, three touchdowns as he sits and debates with Steve Biscotti, the owner of that team, about what his next contract should look like, considering they shut it down. If I hear any more whining about the fact that Biscotti's all mad about the fact that the Browns had all that guaranteed money for Deshaun Watson, I just say, boo-hoo, pay your quarterback. I'm done. I'm tired of it. Stop using the Browns to defeat you. Don't you remember? You guys stole the team from Cleveland. Uncle. I have no sympathy for the Ravens. Pay the guy before you lose him because he'll be in another uniform next year if they don't pay him.
Look, maybe bailing Art Modell out was just a little too expensive for Steve Biscotti, and it hurt him today. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
Maybe he had to pay for a wide receiver that he couldn't afford. I don't know. Oh, wait. Is that too soon?
Maybe he's got to go do some panhandling at banks in downtown Baltimore to get money for Lamar Jackson. Like, if I'm Lamar Jackson every time I throw a touchdown or run for a touchdown, I'm doing the Johnny Manziel, show me the money.
Oh.
But not like arms wide open, though, like Manziel would do. I would just, like, right in front of right below my chin, I'd just be like, just show me the money every time. Money.
Is he the new Andre Rison?
I don't know, but I am kind of surprised that the Ravens did not get him taken care of. What's even more interesting is that it looks like the leakage on the negotiations came from neither party, that it came from the NFLPA, which if it did, I would think is somewhat problematic. But I think the numbers were 133 guaranteed, 250 overall for 6 years, which puts him in the Deshaun Watson annual earnings ballpark, but it's not fully guaranteed. And look, the NFL owners are trying to make sure that there is never another Deshaun Watson contract for a quarterback. I get it. I don't care, like you, right? Ain't my money. Don't care. Got the money. They can afford it.
They charge $17 for a beer at a game. They can do whatever they want.
Right.
I don't feel sorry for the NFL owners in that situation.
The Browns are going to be charging $95 to tailgate at the Science Center. So that, just to put things in, right? I mean,
right. Like,
The NFL prints money and the fans just fork it over. So I have no sympathy for any of these owners when it comes to player salaries. And I'm all about the players getting every dollar that they can, because their careers are a play away, quite frankly, from being over. And I'm not being negative.
No, I agree with you.
Like, that's just, they're putting their bodies on the line each and every week. But looking forward to the Jets flying into town. I have a feeling that it should be a very festive home opener for the Browns, based on what we saw from the Jets against the Ravens. And You know, I just overall, Andy, I love what I saw from the running game offensively. For the most part, I like defensively what I saw. Love the kicking game. Dimitri Felton scares the crap out of me catching punts. That's kind of my week one review for the Cleveland Browns. Jacoby Brissett, right. Yuck. Running game, awesome. Kicker, awesome. Defense, mostly awesome. Dimitri Felton scares the daylights out of me fielding punts. There you go.
Fair enough. There's your assessment. All right, this has been the first post game. It's always game day in Cleveland. For our amazing producer, Meredith Kane, we say thank you for listening. Again, if you like the podcast, all you need to do is subscribe, give us a couple notes, give us some stars, do whatever it takes. We appreciate you, and we appreciate you listening. Again, if you want to get a hold of us on Instagram, on Twitter, at GameDayCLE. The Browns win week one. It's always game day in Cleveland.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.